يشأ يسكن الريح فيظللن رواكد على ظهره إن في ذلك لآيات لكل صبار شكور أو يوبقهن بما كسبوا ويعف عن كثير ويعلم الذين يجادلون في آياتنا ما لهم من محيص فما فمتاع الحياة الدنيا وما عند الله خير وأبقى والذين يجتنبون كبائر الإثم والفواحش وإذا ما غضبوا يغفرون والذين استجابوا لربهم وأقاموا الصلاة وأمرهم شورى بينهم ومما رزقناهم ينفقون
والذين إذا أصابهم البغي هم ينتصرون وجزاء سيئة سيئة مثلها فمن عفا وأصلح فأجره على الله إنه لا يحب الظالمين
ولمن انتصر بعد ظلمه فأولئك ما عليهم
إنما السبيل على الذين يظلمون الناس ويبغون في الأرض بغير الحق
صدق الله العظيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين خالق الخلائق الخلائق بعث الأحياء والأموات والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا نبينا وحبيب حبيبنا وطبيب أنفسنا وشفيع شفيعنا القاسم المصطفى وعلى أهله الطاهرين المتجبين لا سيما سيدنا الضعيف الأظهر الروحي وأرواح الأرواح فداء على أعداء الداعين إلى قيام الدين. For the hastening of the return of our tomorrow is our salat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala. ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all believers, mu'mineen and mu'minat, and all people worldwide on the occasion of the birth of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. And we ask for particularly the blessing of guidance, the Holy Prophet's blessing for the world has got multiple angles, multiple aspects, the most important of which is the aspect of guidance. Mankind is considered Khalifatullah on earth, the representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The role of mankind has been from the beginning of time to be God's representation on earth in moving the entirety of this globe in the direction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, which is the direction of prosperity for all. Not for all people, for all of God's creation. And mankind has lost that direction. Mankind is not only not developing itself, not only not making progress as mankind, where instead of mankind moving towards prosperity, certain individuals, certain governments, certain elite want that elitism in the world. They want things for themselves. They brag about their wealth. They compete with one another for wealth. They compete with one another for power, for controlling the resources. And in the process of that competition, وَيُهْلِكُ الْحَرْثَ وَالنَّسْلِ, they destroy what should be cultivated in the land, what's on the land, what grows from the earth, in a nasl, human offspring, the population. يُهْلِكُ الْحَرْثَ وَالنَّسْلِ. This is the state of affairs that we are in. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all people that guidance, to help all people see that guidance, to help all people take that guidance. It requires the action of all. The guidance has always been there since the time our beloved Prophet was given the obligation to deliver this message to mankind over 1400 years ago. The guidance has been available. The people that have been trusted by God to lead mankind with that guidance towards that destination have been provided. The Holy Prophet, after him Amir al-Mu'mineen, after him Imam al-Mujtaba, after him Imam al-Hussein, all the way until the Imam of our time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved, has not allowed for his identity to be known so that tyrants would destroy him and kill him without the support of the people. These elements have been there. What has been missing is for people, for all, for the populations, for the masses, for mankind, to take this guidance and collectively move towards implementing it. It takes the action of all. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help the people of the world understand and realize this. We ask Allah to help us be part of, since He's given us the guidance, He's helped us see that guidance, He's helped us want to move in that direction to whatever degree. And inshallah, He helps us more. And we realize our deficiencies. And we don't feel ourselves to be above others. It's seeing an obligation, a responsibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And that is to get others to realize this truth. And then work together towards establishing that ideal system where no one competes for their personal gain and in the process destroys al-harth wal-nasl, as the Quran says. Brothers, sisters, read the history. Look back at not centuries ago, just this last century, two what are called world wars, and they weren't world wars. There were wars that countries that had developed themselves scientifically, technologically, industries had developed, progress had been made, that progress, instead of it being used to cultivate the land in a general sense, not just agriculture, use all the hidden treasures that God has put, nuclear power and energy and all these new discoveries that we're finding have been hidden for millennia. And it's our job as Khalifatullah, mankind as a whole being referred to as Khalifatullah in the Quran, to use those to develop it. Instead of those discoveries and the developments of technologies and industries leading to development, the leading countries of the world fought two very severe, gruesome, horrific wars that you find very little precedence in history. It's all about the rule and about that competition. As the Quran says, يُهْلِكُ الْحَرْثَ وَالنَّسْلِ. That's what happened. Populations from all continents were destroyed. After that, did it stop? No. There will always be competition. There will always be someone that thinks that the one who is ruling should be taken down and I should rule. There would always be someone looking and seeing, if these people have this resource, how can I take it away from them for myself? Without God's guidance and people taking that guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and implementing it, the earth will be governed, ruled, the resources used by these individuals, these parties, these governments, these elites. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran tells us that it is our responsibility to take this guidance and implement God's teachings on a global scale. What I'd like to discuss tonight in regards to the birth of the Prophet and this great blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us is related to the verses that we just read in Surah Shura. The title of the chapter, the Surah, is Shura, and it's taken from one of the verses that were recited where it says, وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ. This particular sentence describing the believers
those who have seen the guidance from Allah, they have seen that it is guidance. It guides you to a better life. It's a message from the one who knows this world, who knows us, and knows what's best for us, and knows how to get there. They've identified that, and they have started the journey of implementing it. These are believers. When we say believers, this is what it means. A believer is not an idiot who has been swayed or manipulated to believe something that they cannot see based on some emotional thing that they have accepted. No, a believer is someone who has seen Ayatullah. The verses that were read started with وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ, signs of Allah. They see the signs, clear, manifest, signs of God that are clear to all, despite the fact that some blind themselves to it. Believers who are the ones who see clearly these signs and see the truth of God and see the truth of messengers and see the truth of Islam are described in this chapter, in that particular verse, that وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Amr, many times, there's a literal meaning to the word Amr. The very literal meaning is their affair, their issue. And while it has that very general meaning, what is their affair? And is it referring to something particular? When it says Amruhum, there, it's plural, the pronoun used referring to them, their Amr, Shura Bainahum, is where they sit together, discuss, and move forward with their Amr, is referring to the Amr of governing themselves, their affair. Just generally, their affair as a whole, collectively. What is the affair of a people collectively? Whatever can be identified as that has to do with their collective well-being, which is taken care of, or that process is called governance. Governance is أَمْرُهُمْ شُورَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Believers are involved in their collective destiny. They discuss and they share their understandings and they hear the words of others. And collectively together, they understand the right path, the right solution, and they move forward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in this chapter, أَمْرُهُمْ شُورَ بَيْنَهُمْ. In another chapter of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Holy Prophet, and he says, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. Again, Al-Amr is used. Now we have, hopefully, a common understanding regarding what Al-Amr means, governance. شَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. In the matter of governance, shawirhum, talk to them, discuss matters with them. Who? The Prophet. The Prophet that وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. The Prophet that receives revelation. The verses of the Holy Quran telling us that nothing that the Prophet heard was wrong, nothing that he saw was wrong, nothing that he said was wrong. So in terms of receiving information from Allah, there was no error in that process. And in the process of delivering it to mankind, there's no error there. This person, who is also responsible not to just deliver the message, but also to implement it on the scale of governance, because the guidance that comes for each individual, the Holy Prophet encourages people, you in your personal matter, behind closed doors, behave in this way, behave in that way. Whose job is it to do that, that person? It's their job to do it. But But then in terms of governance, there is a leader. There is a leadership. There's a person that governs. There has never been a government that all people of a community have been the governors of. There's never been such a thing. It's a myth that in some part of the world, at some point in time, there was a democracy in the sense of every single person being involved in every single decision making. That's ridiculous. It's never possible. That's a myth. I don't care what book has it in it. That's a myth. There's no such thing. Somehow these books are considered revelation because it's been repeated so many times that somewhere in Rome or in Greece or some other part of the Western world, it so happens that they had such a great place that they were able to implement this type of democracy. Baloney, absolute junk. There's no such thing. It's never possible, never has been possible, never has occurred anywhere in the world. There's always governors and governed. There are those who are involved in government. They have the responsibility of governing the affairs of the people, of the masses, the territory they rule over. And then there are the ruled, the governed. What is their relationship in terms of governance? What is the relationship of the governed and the governor? In much of the history of the world, the relationship of the governor and the governed is that the governor dictates what he wants, what she wants. A king, a queen, they say what they want, and the governed have no say in that. The governed are not included in the decision-making process. The governed are not included in terms of identifying a benefit for that. It doesn't matter if people benefit from that decision of the governor or they don't, because they don't matter. They are there. This is what was preached, that the king is God. It wasn't only the Fir'aun that the Quran tells his people, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. It's not only him. Look at the literature you have of all these Western countries. That's what they preach the king or the queen was. A divine figure. Everything and everyone should be sacrificed in order to preserve the life of that person. This is what is preached. This is how they felt about themselves. This is how they what they taught others. A person, a small few, they decide the fate of the people in the territory they govern based on what's good in their mind for themselves, not for the people. And so being in that position is a matter of privilege. If you have that position, obviously you have all these resources that are now a privilege for you. Your decisions as that ruler are going to be the best decision to serve your purpose. And of course, that's going to bring about a competition. Because others who see that and they're smart enough, they think they start having ideas. Especially those who are close. And we have plenty of stories of either kings and queens being assassinated by their sons and daughters and siblings and whoever, or in order out of fear, out of the horrific nightmares of their close ones, their relatives, their spouses, their parents, their children, their siblings, killing them for power, they ended up killing them before they could even attempt that. History is filled with that. In modern times, the way governance and the relationship between governor and governed has developed, because of the course of history being affected and influenced by the teachings of prophets, and most particularly our beloved prophet, the prophet of Islam, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and the work of the Ahlul Bayt, the idea of people being involved in their destiny and taking that in their own hands has spread, and therefore kings and queens have found that they can no longer rule in the way they used to by claiming that they are this divine character, this divine personality that everyone needs to sacrifice themselves for the king or the queen. They can no longer do that. And therefore, those who want to assume power, those who want to compete to take power for their own objectives, for their own purposes, in order to have those resources available to them, they've got to change the language, change the format. It's essentially the same. In countries where today claim to have democracy outside of the Muslim world, or in the Muslim world if they are extensions of Western powers, the non-Muslim elite of the world, you see that people compete. They compete for power. The words they use, the language they use, is that vote for me, because I will make sure the taxes go into this area, that area, this need, that need, Medicare, Medicaid, education for everyone. And they list a number of issues that have been caused by others. I'm going to be coming and fixing those issues. That's what they say. That's what they all say. You never have a president, a political figure that wants to run for the seat as prime minister in a parliamentary system. You never having them saying that, vote for me, I'm a divine figure. They don't use that old language. That old language doesn't work. People have realized that they are responsible and they must take affairs in their hands. They can't allow anyone to do that. They've reached that level of maturity, that level of guidance from Allah to mankind through prophets, particularly the Prophet of Islam and the Imam Salamullah alayhim ajma'in, with all the troubles they went through, has affected the globe. People have come to this understanding. But the tyrants still remain. The language has changed. That person who runs for that seat for 4 years, for 8 years, for 5 years, for whatever number of years, what are they involved with during that process? If they do something for the people, it's for the name and the fame and the reputation. If they do something for a people, they do a lot of wrong to other people. Obama is a character in the recent history of this country that we're living in that for some reason is being looked up to as some form of, I don't know, some hero, some very intelligent, selfless, hardworking American that has done a great job as a president of this country. And that's part of the process of ruling. It's become more complicated. It isn't only your cell phones that have become more complex. It's not only communications that's become more complex. Once upon a time, we barely had something to communicate in longer distances than the telephone was created. And after many decades, that was upgraded to cell phones. And then now, those are called dumb phones. What we used to carry as cell phones are called dumb phones. And you have smartphones. And on those smartphones, you have all the social media. Besides all the audio stuff that was going on, there's plenty of video. And the last one that has joined is TikTok. All of this is very complex. Human society has become very complex in terms of the various technologies that make life easier. That's not the only thing that's become complex. The complexities of governing over people are there as well. And the complexities of seeing, drawing parallels, seeing comparisons between what today is called a democracy, a ruler that is called a democratic ruler, a ruler that is referred to as a person who helped his people. That's one of the problems, his people. Islam doesn't teach his people. Islam teaches all people. Seeing the parallels and seeing people who identify as such or are portrayed as such. Seeing that the media is part of governance. Media is arguably the most important element in government in modern times. Arguably. And media includes not just social media, the old-fashioned news outlets, if we can call them that, along with all the movies and TV shows, that whole, anything that influences public opinion, that is arguably the most important element in modern governance. It always has been to a degree, but with all of what's available these days, controlling the narrative and controlling public opinion is very important. It's part of the elite. Controlling the media is an important task of the government. The government is never going to have the media be referred to as state-run, and they won't be. And they'll make it such that in Western countries, except for the BBC that is openly state-run, funded and run, and they don't want to admit that for some reason. It's there. It's pretty public. Somehow it isn't seen by some. But the others, they don't say Fox News is not state-funded or state-run. What does that even mean? What does state-funded and state-run in modern history mean? The British are still a little old-fashioned. That's why they have the BBC as state-run and state-funded. What does that even mean? The elite that rule a country are not composed of politicians alone. In fact, arguably, the ones who really rule the land, I think more and more people are coming to this truth. The elite of the world are not even the elected officials or the non-elected officials, political figures of the world. This is not a conspiracy theory. It is fact. When you see that a person who wants to run for presidency requires all the money to spend on media, on campaigning, on getting the right words out about himself, they've got to get all that money, which costs too huge of a sum that an average, ordinary person could ever afford in their lifetime. They got to get it from somewhere. Getting involved in that means that you're going to be brought in by people who own that money. They're not going to do it fi sabilillah, for Allah's sake, for God's sake. Well, they didn't earn that money and keep it and keep everybody out of all their properties to give it in the way of Allah. If they wanted to do that, they wouldn't have ever had that. They're sitting on all that cash because they're keeping it for themselves and they're spending it for their own well-being and for their own progress, for their own name, for whatever they want for themselves. What is portrayed on the media is not the truth, is not the reality. They're never going to come out and say that. But look at the realities. The realities are the people that talk about prosperity for all, leaving no one behind, treating people, all people are created equal. Why are the people of Yemen not created equal? Why are the people of Iraq not created equal? First, you unleash Saddam, you support him, you supply him, You keep him in power. The people revolt against him in 91. You unleash him again. You wanted to take him down. You realize if we take him down, then the people are going to take government. You didn't want that. You unleashed him again. Mass graves, mass murders. Then in the name of removing him, you go in, cause more trouble. Depleted uranium. God knows how long the people of that region are going to be affected by the substances that they're trying, or they know the evil effects of. The people of Iraq are not people. The people of Syria are not people that Obama unleashed Daesh. Hillary Clinton admits this. They were working together. She was part of the cabinet. In the country, did anything get better for all? Did everybody benefit? He started something to make a name, Obamacare, something that cannot be, in this system, cannot be sustained. Let's just give him a good name. He knows it can't be sustained. The way this system works, this is a horrific system that healthcare is so expensive that no one can afford. You have to have some form of insurance. It's a ridiculous system. It's a system of allowing those with power, those with more intelligence, more resources, to keep everything for themselves. Health, which is something that everyone is in need of, all people are in need of, is so expensive. You can't afford. Did he really change things for the better in this country or abroad, anywhere in the world? Any of these people do that? Why are we fooled by what the media portrays of what's happening? Why do we read what's happening by the means, the limbs, the arms of the system that is governing over us? They want us to perceive things the way they want. That's the only way they can rule. This is a relationship of the governed and the governors. It hasn't changed. The names, the titles have changed. The dress code has changed. We don't have big thrones. We don't have that set up. We don't have those robes that they used to wear. We don't have all the gold showing off. We don't have that. But it's changed form. It's the same idea. A president for the rest of their life is going to be getting annually, just directly from the government, so many times more than a family can dream of having, not in 1 year, in multiple years, for some even a decade, an entire decade's salary is given to a president directly from the government. This is besides all the other perks that a president will get officially, and this is all the official part of it. The unofficial, the gains that are unofficial, that are not talked about, that are not mentioned, that are not said in the media, you can't find traces of them, that's a whole different thing. It hasn't changed. Governance, the governors rule for what's best for them, not what's best for the people. The governed are not involved, even if they come to it. They make such a big hype, and it's very unfortunate to see people generally, Muslims particularly, the Shia more particularly, ulama, especially those who wear, or I shouldn't say ulama, I should say those who wear the dress code of ulama. Some of them are really not ulama, especially the ones that wear the black ones that suggest related to the Prophet, rejoicing, first being involved in the process of getting people to support these tyrants. This is tyranny. It's not a democracy. And then rejoicing in the haram of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. We are doing ziyarah for this great victory. victory of one evil idiot going, another evil idiot coming in. What victory? It's very unfortunate to see this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that what He says in His guidance is that even when I have with you someone that I am guiding directly, firstly, his responsibility is to take care of you. The Holy Prophet in the Quran, he is the ruler, God's ruler on earth. The Khalifatullah, not humanity as a whole. That individual is the one that has authority. Ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasul. He is supposed to provide this guidance as it is from God to the people so that they are guided. The Quran tells them, if the elite push you, people of power push you to change one letter of that, we will cut your jugular vein right there and then. Right there and then. God threatens the Prophet. This guidance that is so important for mankind, God says, I sent you to deliver this to them. If you change one letter of it that causes them to be misled, I will punish you very severely. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises the Prophet for being selfless, praises the Prophet for doing everything. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِمَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. He took on all that hardship to deliver this to the people. And then when the time came to rule, what did he do? He took the people that have been ruled under a foolish ideology by an elite that the only thing they care about is their gold and silver and slaves and what have you, and the reputation they had for being the governors of Mecca, the rulers of Mecca, the caretakers of Mecca, feeding the people the misguidance, that they turned the guidance of Ibrahim into misguidance and shirk. People were eating the flour they had many times was date seed flour. They didn't have even barley, which was not as good as wheat. Wheat bread, just basic bread, was not available to a lot of people. They didn't have it in the entire city. No system, nothing is developed. The Holy Prophet didn't come and argue with Abu Sufyan, why are you the ruler? People, come vote for me. I'll be your ruler. I'll do this. And then behind the scenes start working. Biden, you think the same way that when Trump came to power, all the guys in his own party, Ted Cruz, I can't forget, a guy who was fighting against him so much until he became president. He's the party leader. Now he's the president. He's got to do all the dirty work for that president. All these presidents support, all these people, these politicians support the policies of Trump. They may disagree on this one, the approach here, the language there, whatever. But watch and see, is Biden going to change what Trump did? Watch and see. They said George W. Bush was horrible. He created Guantanamo. That was public. The parts that are not public, forget that. He said Guantanamo. It's very close to home. It's right here. It's in the Caribbean. Went public. Oh, this is a horrific thing. We need to shut it down. We need to shut it down. We need to shut it down. If I become president, this, that, the other, we'll shut down Guantanamo. Did he do it? Watch and see. Is any of the deals, anything that Trump did, is this new guy going to change that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send the Prophet to be a ruler, the relationship of him and the people, the governed, to be a relationship that Abu Sufyan has. Just instead of Abu Sufyan, God says, I want you guys to be worshiping Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. An'ayadu billah. He's going to do the same thing. It's for his benefit. And all the ahadith, God forbid, about the Ahlul Bayt being so great, it's because they're royalty. Al-ayadu billah. Al-ayadu billah. The Holy Prophet, Azizun alayhi ma anittum, harisun alaykum bil mu'minin ra'ufur rahim. He's told in the matter of governance, you know everything. You know, I've told you, I have told you. And I know you know, but in the matter of governance, involve people, talk to people, explain to people, hear what they say, respond to their incorrect views, explain with logic why it needs to happen this way or the other way. Where is this in the Quran? Does it say it? Of course. Shawirhum fil amr means this. Shawirhum fil amr. And then it says, وَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. If you came to a decision, after discussing it with them, once you come to a decision, then rely on Allah, implement it. It's not a lip service. It's not stupefying the masses. It's not tricking the masses in thinking that they have a democracy. Come forward, we need to discuss this matter. What do you have to say? What do you have to say? I already have it all planned out, and I'm going to manipulate from what the people are going to say here and come out with what I want. In the end, we're going to do what I want. That's not... Amruhum shura bainahum. And shawirhum fil amr. Those two go together. Believers discuss with one another their matter, the matter of governance. And the Prophet is told, you as their leader, you need to hear them out and you need to talk to them. It's a two-way relationship. The verb that is used there, shawirhum fil amr, doesn't mean to ask them for advice. It means discuss this. Shawirhum mushawara is discussing things back and forth. Talk to them, discuss it with them, hear them back and forth. Have an understanding. In the battle of Badr, this is a clear example. The Holy Prophet said to his companions, we came out for this purpose. He talks to them. This was our objective. We didn't come out as a group of warriors armed for battle to fight a number that's greater than ourselves or to fight any number for that matter in a war. We went out to confiscate part of what they had stolen from us in Mecca. All the belongings of the believers had been confiscated by the kuffar in that ugly war for 13 years. Mu'mineen had to leave without anything that they have. Everything was stolen one way or another in this war that the mushrikeen had waged against the mu'mineen. The Holy Prophet says, okay, we need to go get some of this back. They went to confiscate that. He talked to them. They went there. They weren't able to accomplish that. Abu Sufyan got to Mecca, got his army together, rallied up a group of people like the Trump supporters, coming out, oh, we need to get them, let's go finish them off, get your weapons. I went over there to kick some tail. The Holy Prophet is told, this is what's happening. He's told to discuss the matter, talk to them. Genuinely, they came collectively to that decision. The people came to him and said, Ya Rasulallah, we believe what you say is right. And if you think this is the right thing to do, we will do it. The Holy Prophet said, okay, I think this is the right thing. He said, okay, we're with you. He didn't say, oh, we need to do this, manipulate this guy or that guy. So what are your opinions? People spoke against fighting, and those spoke in favor of it with more logic and reason. And the others followed. The majority went with that. The Prophet said, this is what we're going to do. Everybody remain, and they decided to fight. This is an example, an instance. It's not only that. The Prophet had the masjid, which is the center for dhikr, for the remembrance of Allah, to be the center where he discussed matters with people in a public environment. Talk to people. This is what's happening. This is what's happening on these borders, on those borders, this tribe. We've received intelligence that they're preparing to come and fight us and to kill us and do this or do that. أمرهم شورى بينهم. The globe needs to move towards a real Islamic government on a global scale that's going to benefit all. Which means, as we just said, أمرهم شورى بينهم, reflects the idea that the people that are part of that government are in support of that government. The only reason, in terms of practicality, or the only time it was always correct, the governance of God and His message is what's appropriate for mankind, is what's good for mankind, is what's legitimate. Anything else is illegitimate. But part of establishing that government is for there to be public support. In Mecca, there was no public support. The Prophet didn't establish government. In Medina, there was public support. The Prophet established government. Then he engaged them in those conversations. He responded to what God said, شاورهم في الأمر. If we want to move in this direction, the people of the world need to come to understand, again, not manipulation, not using, sometimes people talk about how we present Islam to people so that they can accept it. Let's water it down. Let's not talk about this. Let's not talk about that. Are you trying to manipulate people in accepting Islam? Do you think that Islam is not the right path? You need to take portions of it and say, people, this is Islam. And first you want to omit or not talk about those areas that you don't think are right, or at least you don't want to share with others, but then eventually get rid of those parts? No, Islam is what it is. You need to, and all of us need to understand the wisdom, the logic behind every single ruling in it. How this is the correct rule. First, based on fundamental principles that are proven beyond a shadow of a doubt, with full clarity, that this is what comes from God, and who is God, what are the attributes of God. He is a just God. He's a merciful God. If He gives anything, He doesn't need anything from us. So all the benefit of every single rule in Islam is for the person and for the people. No other person is the beneficiary of that. The rulers are not the beneficiaries of the rules of governance. Those rules are in place for the benefit of the people. The rulers are responsible to make sure the people get those benefits. We understand these principles, believe in them, and then anytime we have a question, look for answers within the book, within the Quran. This marvelous book, this book filled with wonders of accuracy and precision in understanding not the human body. The human body, with all its complexities, is much less complex than the human soul. With all the variations of people in terms of understanding, in terms of gender, in terms of ethnicity, in terms of life experiences, in terms of so many differences and variations, but all of us are equally human. God, the Creator, understanding, knowing, obviously, as the Creator, every bit of that, and giving guidance with precision that really, the more you understand it, the more you wonder. It is filled with wonders. Some people get really fascinated with discoveries and sciences, which they are fascinating at times. But the wonders of the Quran, God's guidance, are beyond imagination. On a much different level, look, try to understand, and see how every single one of these rules is to benefit mankind, benefit people, And when we're explaining to people, explain it all, this is what it is. We're not censoring anything. We're not hiding anything. If you don't like it, that's your choice. This is what it is. We're not trying to gather people. Again, we would be doing exactly what these politicians do. To say what the people want, and then when it's time, they want to do what they want. After they're in office, they want to do what they want. No. This is what it is. If you don't like it, it's your choice. Be here. This is the reason for it. You will see more and more people realize the truth of it. This is what needs to happen. This is what we are in need of. It needs action from all. And the stepping stone to action, real action, genuine action, is that people understand this. The Imam of our time is not going to come and rule a world that everybody is against him, obviously misunderstanding who he is. But everyone's against him. He's not going to come and rule that for what reason? Is he trying to get anything for himself? To be the ruler of the world, have the resources of the world to himself? Absolutely not. As we have in hadith, when the Imams were not the rulers, sometimes these poor Shias who didn't understand who the Ahlul Bayt are would go to them feeling sorry. I wish the conditions were different. The Imam would pick up some pebbles, turn it into gold for them. Like, what are you thinking? Get out of here. The heavens and the earth are under the control of the Ahlul Bayt. What are you thinking? Imams don't need this. They don't need anyone to say, oh, long live this person, long live that person, have masses come out. And they don't need it. The Imam of our time isn't waiting for that. But the stepping stone, the only way that establishing government on a global scale is going to be possible is that the people want it. People need to understand it and want it. On the occasion of the birth of the Prophet, brothers, sisters, it is our responsibility. Whatever degree we have known, we have come to know, God blessed us. This isn't a privilege to brag to others in that sense. It is a blessing that we need to thank Allah. It came from Allah. With it comes a responsibility. With it does not come any form of privilege in terms of feeling superior towards another human being. No, it's a blessing from Allah. See it from Allah. Thank Him. Feel the responsibility. If there's another fellow human being that doesn't see this, doesn't understand this, is genuinely a good person, they're not one of those few throughout history that have been ugly from within. Ashqiya, very few. The majority of the people are not like that. You see that they haven't seen it because this person lied to them, because they had an experience with a Muslim that was bad, because they heard something about Muslimin that was bad, because every explosion they heard of, they heard a Muslim name, the call of Adhan, the picture of a hijabi, for decades. That's why they think Islam is bad. If you see that, don't feel you're superior to them. Feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a blessing. I have a responsibility now to deliver it to this person. The Holy Prophet didn't come to the masses and say, oh, I have received guidance from God. You got to bow down to me. The Holy Prophet, this is hadith, beautiful hadith from Jesus, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam. More than that, the Holy Prophet did. I'll explain that. But this word, the wording of Jesus is nice. And this hadith that the Imams have told us, we didn't find it in some reference that we can't verify. No, it's from the Imams. The Imam said, Jesus told his disciples, the closest to him, he said to them, I want to do something. I want you guys not to stop me from doing it. I'm paraphrasing here. These are not the exact words. But approximately, these are the words. He said, I want to do something. I want you guys not to stop. He said, okay. And they said, yes. He said, okay, bring me water. The Prophet bent down, put their feet in it, started washing their feet. These are his disciples. Jesus takes water and brings it, puts their feet in it, massages their feet, gets all the filth off, one by one. He says, I did this for you, so you do this to people. You're not going to be taking advantage of divine knowledge to feel privileged and superior towards others, you are going to serve God's creation. Okay. The Holy Prophet, they dumped things on him. They cursed him. They did all of that. The Prophet was trying to guide those very same individuals. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, rahmatan lil alameen. Those same individuals that were dumping ashes and trash and the remains of slaughtered animals, the blood and all the nasty, smelly remains that no one would like to see, instead of burying them, that is what usually was done and today is done too in rural areas. They would take it, save it, the Prophet's passing, throw it on the Prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, ruhi fida. He didn't respond harshly in any way. He continued, not out of hypocrisy, manipulation, or any of that. He wants that person to be guided. Taha ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'an litashqa. We didn't give you the Qur'an for you to be in hardship. So many verses of the Holy Qur'an, God tells the Prophet, I want you to care, but the way you're caring, I'm afraid you're going to kill yourself that they're not becoming Muslim. Not out of rage, that why aren't they becoming Muslim? Out of care. He conquered Mecca after not 13 years of all the misbehavior and conduct they showed the Prophet himself and his disciples and his companions, killing them, torturing them, making them have to leave, making the Holy Prophet and his companions have to be in Sha'bwa. We thought it had been harsh conditions for 3 years, making them have to leave Mecca altogether. Even in Medina, they didn't leave him alone. The Battle of Badr, then the Battle of Uhud, then the Battle of Ahzab, one after the other. He conquers Mecca. What does he do to these people? What does he do to their leader who discusses this with his uncle, Abbas, and says, how can I get out of being slain? He's responsible for the deaths of so many. And all that mistreatment. He comes and says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. He says, this is the only way. The Holy Prophet doesn't say, okay, I know you're not truthful. Kill him. He doesn't do. He's not interested in that. He doesn't even say, okay, you said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, except he didn't say, I don't know, I know you're not truthful, you're not genuine about this, you're not telling the truth. He didn't even say that, okay, I accept, get out of sight. He didn't even say, okay, just leave it at that. Okay, you're Muslim, alhamdulillah. He didn't. He said, anyone that comes to the house of Abu Sufyan is saved. Anyone who comes to the house of Abu Sufyan, anyone who's against me, gather in the house of Abu Sufyan. What are you doing? It's guidance. He's interested in guiding people, in helping people, not ruling over people for his benefit. This is the relationship of the governor and governed in Islam. This is what Amir al-Mu'mineen is doing. He suffers for Muawiyah being the governor in Sham, not because he wants to be that ruler. He said this when they came to his door, they begged him to rule. He said, ruling over you is less valuable than the snot of a goat. If it wasn't for the responsibility that God has given me, and if it wasn't for the support that you are giving that makes that obligation an obligation that applies to me today, I would have left this altogether. I'm not interested in ruling. When I left it, I didn't leave it out of fear and love for my life. When I'm taking it, I'm not taking it because I like governing over you. That itself is not. The privilege is this, to be God's servant in serving his creation, going to the house of the widows that are cursing Ali, and helping the children, playing with those children while he hears the bigger against Ali and doesn't even say anything, that this is the Ali that you're cursing. You're thanking me, cursing Ali. This is the one that you are cursing. You're thanking me and cursing me at the same time. He didn't say that. He's not interested in that. That's not the point. Governance in Islam is a responsibility that anyone who is not absolutely sure between them and Allah that they can do this, it is haram for them to take on that obligation. It's an obligation in the service of people, physically, spiritually, psychologically, all of that. The responsibility lies on the shoulders of the governor, the one who governs. And one of the responsibilities is to engage them, not say, I know what's best for you, listen, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. I know. I've been divinely guided. No. Humble yourself. Talk to them. The only way to make progress is to talk and to have an understanding about where we're going. Together, understand and move. Amir al-Mu'mineen in the Battle of Siffin did the same thing. He said to them, look, we need to fight for these reasons. They said, no, Ya Ali, they put the Qur'ans. He said, I was the one who said, let's not fight. Don't you remember? 6 months ago that we started this fight, I said, Muawiyah, let's not start this. Don't do this. Let's have the Quran as the judge between us. You are witness. All of them said, no, we want to start this fight. Now they're putting the Qurans on. Don't you see it's a trick? He spoke, all these things are being said. They insisted that no, only Hakam. Amir al-Mu'mineen said, okay, Hakamiya. Let me choose a Hakam. Choose this person, choose that person. They said, no. It can't be from your family. It can't be your cousins. It can't be Ibn Abbas. It can't be Malik al-Ashtar. None of these guys. We're going to choose. Who? Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. The Imam said, this is the person that doesn't understand. He doesn't have intelligence. He doesn't have the wisdom. They will trick him. They said, no. What did Ali say? He said, okay, but I still have my responsibility with the condition. I will give in to their judgment if it's based on Quran and the Sunnah. But was he okay with Abu Musa al-Ash'ari? He wasn't. Was he okay with stopping the war? He wasn't. He wasn't okay with that. أَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. He discussed it with them. If they were not okay with it, you think anyone would be able to stand against the Dhul-Faqar of Ali ibn Abi Talib? None of them. All it would take, just like Muawiyah, take a couple of them, Saddami style. Take the lives of a couple, everybody would get in line. Everyone would. That's all it takes. Not even that. Bribe a couple. Threaten a couple. Hey, I'll do this to you. We're going to get back to Kufa. This is not the end of it. A few threats. Bribes. It's not about that. It's about doing the right thing. Talking to people in the right way. The way God has said, this is Islamic governance that we need for the globe. The stepping stone to it is people understanding this is the message of prosperity. This is the message of salvation in this world and in the hereafter. And the job of the soldiers of the Imam of our time today is to convince people of this. Do the work, whatever knowledge you have of what the Ahlul Bayt have given, what the Prophet of Islam has given, what the Quran has given, whatever level of knowledge you have. To that degree, you are warathatul anbiya. You inherit that knowledge of the anbiya. With inheriting that knowledge of anbiya comes the inheritance of the responsibility of sharing that with others in a convincing way, showing people, talking to people. This is the only way that we're going to have the government of the Imam of our time that will be the governance of justice, of justice in resources, justice in opportunities, justice in people being part of this, justice in that the governor and the governed have equal access to resources. No one is privileged because of their connection to authority. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us. This is a time where unfortunately mu'mineen are being confused about this. Jumping on the bandwagon, celebrating because some idiot, some fool, some shaitan, just because he's not the shaitan that's called Trump, some people celebrate. Of course, God taught Trump a good lesson. And anyone who thinks that they can be that arrogant, that openly, God will humiliate them publicly, as he did the pharaohs, and he did him, the one of the few presidents that only served one term. This is God's punishment for him. This is, however, not a victory that's God-given to Biden. Something to celebrate that we have Biden as our president. Absolutely not. As Sayyid Hassan said, the move, the order that came directly from Trump himself to martyr the Shaheed, Haj Qasim Soleimani, and the Shaheed, Haj Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, that was something that caused him a defeat then and for the elections. He said that. Go find it online. That's exactly true, and this is what we see. You think the blood of the Shuhada will go in vain? That decision, and then bragging about it? That's the pitfall of Trump. Don't think it's anything else. All the lies got him to office. All the lies got him to where he is. You think he made any money without lies, this jerk? Everything is built on lies and manipulation and misuse of resources and what have you. As Sayyid Hassan said, that's what has led. This is so. Trump getting a slap for now. This is not the end of his adhab. This is the beginning of his adhab. Leader said his body is going to be rotting in his grave while the Islamic movement is going to increase in power. And the Palestinians will never have Jerusalem or any part of Palestine given to the Zionists, despite all the wrong that he did in that regard. All the way leading to the elections, trying to get some form of approval where he would get the politicians to approve of him despite all his lies, getting the Emiratis and the Bahrainis to officially have relations with the Zionists. What's that all for? To get the politicians here and the elite here to approve of him so he can get away with all the lies and all the misconduct. It didn't. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in charge. He's going to be rotting in his grave while the Palestinians are going to celebrate their victory of defeating the Zionist entity and removing it entirely and from the river to the sea, all of it being Palestine, without exception. But this is no celebration for another tyrant, he's already been part of the administration of this country. He's been part of creating ISIS. What are you celebrating? The creator of ISIS? Do you think Obama did it by himself? He was the vice president. He's part of the creation of ISIS. You're celebrating him by the shrine of Imam al-Hussein? Celebrating the ones who threatened to kill the Zuwar of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein in Arba'een? Trying their best to do it and then Hashd al-Sha'bi stopping them? You're celebrating this guy? La'anatullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen. InshaAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all in the fitan of these days so that we don't line up with all the confusion that is created by the limbs and the tentacles of the taghut in believing that this is a victory for the masses. No. And I think many of those who even thought the best way to deal with the situation is to go and participate in the elections and vote for someone other than Trump was exactly that. They were trying to, in desperation, get rid of this fool. Not that they really thought that Biden is such a great person and such a great ruler. There are some that did, but I think many more, out of desperation and not seeing any other solution, wanted this guy out of office. That's why they participated. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us of the fitan. So instead of us lining up behind these tawagheed, celebrating their victory to rule over the people and to misuse resources and to kill people, that we line up behind the Imam of our time and we start doing that work for the Imam of our time, convincing the people of the guidance of Islam so that they would want it and there would be a global uprising for Islam, for the teachings of the Quran, for the teachings of the Imam of our time. Inshallah, we ask Allah to make us part of that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us become his true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping his cause, especially our ulama, our maraja, and more so our leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins, forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have passed away. We ask Allah to grant all of us and all believers worldwide our hajat, our needs, our requests. We ask Him to relieve all mankind of the pandemic and the difficulties, the casualties, the calamities, various forms, the physical, the psychological, the spiritual effects that have affected us. We ask Allah to relieve us all mankind of this in the near future. We ask Allah to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabiya wa Alih, rahimallah man qara al-fatihata ma'as-salawat.